AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Football on off the ball.
This might just be modern media, but it feels to me that Arsenal, maybe because they haven't won the league for 21 years, but it feels like they get into the running far too early. And maybe that's our fault in the media as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're welcome to episode 106 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. John Duggan and Johnny Ward with you. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, and interviews. A bit of crack as well. Reminder as well, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your podcasts. How are you, Johnny?
I'm good, Judy.
You want to get into the microphone there? We want to let people know that this happened last week in the Racing Pod. Have a listen.
So I'm going to go with the 142 at Navan. Gringo Dobrel under Mike Kennelly, 20-1 William Hill in the 142. He's a funny horse, this fella. His career hasn't maybe gone the way that the money paid for him would have hoped, connections would have hoped. But he's run the last year, I thought it was a lovely run. Basically, just to give a bit of lowdown as to why I like him. He was 5th of 19 over 2.5 at Navan last time behind Paddy's Milestone, who reopposes. Both of them are out of the handicap tomorrow because it's a race that's lopsided. But if Facile Mode is 4-1, like, I just could not trust that horse at all. Buddy won his top weight. He's rated 150, and the horses at the bottom are rated 114 Paddy's Milestone. So it's a big, but Gringo Dobrel, he stayed on really nicely the last time. Mike Kennelly takes off 7, wasn't knocked about, course winner and a bumper, trained by the inform Gordon Elliott, 20-1 each way.
Number 13 on Saturday, 142 at Navan, Gringo Dobrel, 20-1, 25 each way for Johnny Ward's charity bet. Gordon Elliott trains, Michael Keneally will ride. Well done, Johnny, 20-1 winner.
Yeah, it's Gravener works out. It's a difficult one, this one, for punters, because that horse was sort of 5-1 on Saturday morning. So it's
That's why you need to listen to the pod.
Yeah, if you can get your bets on early, good and well. And William Hill prices up early, but that horse was there was quite a dramatic move on it. Really testing ground, and the horse just handled it very well. And we hopefully will have one or two more before Christmas.
Well done, Johnny. Always good to have a 20-1 winner. So I was at the HRI Awards on Monday at the Mansion House in Dublin, and it just was reflective, I think, Johnny, of the stellar year Irish racing had when we looked at all the award winners. So Rachel Blackmore received the award for the contribution to the industry. Obviously, she's retired now and was, I suppose, the main guest of honour on the night. William Mullins, the National Hunt Award. Patrick Mullins, the National Hunt Achievement Award for his Grand National victory on Nick Rocket. Dylan Brown McMonagall, the champion jockey, got the Flat Award. Joseph Murphy, lovely story, Sir Senne, won the Flat Achievement Award. Alan O'Sullivan, a poignant winner of the Ride of the Year on Folly Bay at Galway. Nicola Burns got the Emerging Talent Award. Sam Curling won the Point to Point Award. Punchestown was named Racecourse of the Year. And a joint winner of the Horse of the Year, Galopin Les Chances and Ethical Diamond.
Yeah, some big names there. I think, you know, the one that's warmed my heart most was Joe Murphy winning the Achievement Award. He's just such a nice guy, and he happened upon Sir Senne, and who wasn't an expensive horse, and to go to bring him to the places like to Ascot and to run so well, and to go to the Guineas and run so well. He's just such a nice guy, and I remember him saying to me that when his son Joe got involved, that it almost gave him a new lease of interest in the whole game, because you're living your youth again a bit through your son, and the whole game continues again, and the two of them are they're kind of a funny double act at the races, because it's kind of little and large, Big Joe and Little Joe, and they're just two really likeable characters. And of the others, and Rachel Blackmore, it's kind of, I suppose, she's been so readily replaced in a way by Daryl O'Keefe, that it's kind of been seamless from Henry de Bromhead's yard. Daryl O'Keefe has taken on so many rides that you would have had, and has and raced into an early lead in the Jockey Championship, which has been eroded a bit, but you'd forget how big an impact she made for racing. I think with Rachel, she kept racing in the headlines for the right reasons when it tended to be in the headlines for the wrong reasons.
Well, I was asked by somebody the five most influential sports people in Ireland in the last quarter of a century. You're thinking Katie Taylor and Rory McIlroy are a couple of those spring to mind, but Rachel Blackmore has to be in there.
Mm.
Like a woman jockey winning the Grand National. I mean, you know, that was unheard of in the olden days, and winning every big race at Cheltenham and riding six winners at Cheltenham in 2021 when the British entire tally was five.
Mm.
In a male sport, you know, I mean, there's no other sport where men and women compete in the same ring. As
I think that aspect to it as well inspires people. Like I've never gotten the Katie Taylor thing at all. I'm just weird about that. It's just, and I just think boxing is such a peripheral sport. But Katie Taylor, because of her personality and because of how good she's become, has become like this icon, like an absolute icon. And I'm not into boxing, so I don't really get it.
I do get it. Because
why is it?
Because she was so good that they decided, well, why don't we get women's boxing into the Olympics?
Mm.
And then she won the Olympic champion medal. And then she flopped in Rio, and then she came back as a professional. And then she's going to Madison Square Garden and fighting Amanda Serrano, and it's worldwide.
And also,
so she was, you know, a boxer from Bray, an amateur, to go not only to have a successful career as an amateur and then be a big part of the reason why amateur boxing is at the Olympics. And then she goes and becomes a professional and is a worldwide star. So
if you get Katie, I think Rachel Blackmore isn't a million miles off that, because it is a male-dominated sport. We just haven't had female jockeys at all in the National Hunts Fair in Ireland. Like, it's been really, really strange.
Well, Nina Carberry, Katie,
but not professional.
Not professional. Yeah.
So, like, the amateurs, if Nina Carberry for me was, I would say Nina Carberry is the most talented female jockey I've ever seen. And Paul Carberry would say that she was more talented than him. But I genuinely think Nina was that good. And Rachel came along. Unlike Nina, Rachel came along when she'd kind of had the odd winner in point to points and bumpers, but like she wasn't getting the rides, so she decided that she would go down that route. And I would say people laughed at her; they really laughed at her. And she then took on the job of riding for Shark Hannon. But to get from there to where she got champion conditional to riding all those winners was incredible. And the pressure on her riding these hot favourites at Cheltenham, and I actually felt the ride that she gave Bob Olinger to win the stairs hurdle in her last Cheltenham, that was the best ride I've ever seen her give a horse at Cheltenham. Because a lot of the horses she rode for Henry, they'd be ridden forward and they were kind of, they'd like her handling, but this was totally different. She had to go from last to first practically on a tricky horse, and she had two brilliant winners at Cheltenham this year, and she was quite, I think I said this, like I found it hard to get a handle on her. I think the media stuff,
I don't think she enjoyed doing media.
No.
And I think I just think she wanted to let her ability as a sports person do the talking.
Yeah. And at the same time, she had to maximise her value and her revenue in some respects. So she got like good sponsorship, but she wasn't, she just wasn't like, I agree with you. I don't think she really enjoyed the media work. But she was like, she was perfectly given to me in interviews. And I really do feel that I say it was probably a bit of a relief when she retired that aspect was gone. But in terms of pressure rides, like I rarely remember her really making a mess in a race. Like, and at the top level, your margin is so tight.
She learned from the Gold Cup, which Manella Indo won. Plutar was second, and then the following year she put a Plutar to sleep and then won by 15 lengths in the Gold Cup. But to win the Gold Cup, Champion Chase, Champion Hurdle and Honeysuckle, which she did in May, and also to galvanise Honeysuckle to win on that very emotional day.
Exactly. That emotional day you talk about for thinking of poor Jack de Bromhead. But also Honeysuckle, the name Honeysuckle, the fact that she was a mare, she was ridden by a woman who genuinely was getting racing on the front pages with her smiling. Like it was a good, there were so many bad stories about racing that we needed good news, and she was that. And you mentioned Nicola Burns, like I would say the likes of Nicola Burns, again, like Nicola's kind of a straight shooter. She's another person who kind of wants to do her talking at the racetrack, and she will give interviews. But she's young, and she's probably keeping her feet in the ground. She's had such a good year, but she would probably admit Rachel has to be an inspiration to her to some extent. And even on the flat, we haven't had like in Britain, where you have these really good flat riders, like top level riders, going like you've Josie Gordon's, Holly Doyle's this world, Hayley Turner going to the top. We haven't had any of that, really. And hopefully Nicola Burns might be that.
One last footnote on Rachel Blackmore. Always thought she was amazing with young kids at the racetrack.
Unbelievable,
Jenny. Signing autographs, taking selfies, always had time for them. Even, like, say, you know, when you're under pressure, you've got to change, you've got to go out for a next race, you've got to talk to connections. It was fantastic with young people.
I was thinking of that today, the life of a jockey. Like, if you know, you can go back home and watch the video of, you know, that ride that you gave the horse several times. But like, it's hard to go for a few pints for these riders. Like, they're literally working every day. And Rachel Blackmore, their life is tough. Like, riding out, going to a lot of sort of run-of-the-mill meetings, antiquated facilities at times, particularly for women. And every single day, every day I was racing, there was a clamour around her for a selfie or an autograph, and I never saw her not do it. And that can't be easy. Like, they say, you know, they say, like, some jockeys, like Ryan Moore probably doesn't do that too much. You wouldn't necessarily approach him to do it, but he's a good guy. Some jockeys probably are fed up with doing it. She never seemed to. She never seemed to stop doing it. And I thought she was brilliant for racing.
Yes. Well said. Let's look ahead to the weekend then, Johnny. So, Ferry House, we've got a soft to heavy ground for the card on Saturday. The 1202, the most expensive race in the card, the Join Racing TV Now rated novice chase. The Enabler, I was there at Leopardstown when he won last year, and he ran well behind Jasmine DeVoe. Maybe lost his way afterwards, but returned with a third in a hot race on his chasing debut. Is he the one to beat for you?
Happily, prices are just in JD, and he's come in as 5-4 favourite. He is the horse beat, but I do like 4-1 Barry Lyndon, course and distance winner. I can tell there's something coming here. I know it's coming. Now, when he beat Mill Force last time at Ferry House, Kamikaze Duplessis, who was the odds on favourite, just like he didn't look like he wanted to know, and Mill Force wasn't possibly like at his absolute best. What was interesting for me in that race was he was 4-1 and 5-2 on the show, so he was definitely fancied by someone, and his hurdles form is good. You could say he's way to give away to the Enabler, but Patrick O'Brien takes 5 off, so he's actually getting weight off the Enabler. Paddy's had a great year, and the Enabler's short enough for me, even though he ran well behind Kitzbühel last time.
You know what Barry Lyndon is?
I actually don't. And I should.
It's a film by Stanley Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick, there we go.
It was released 50 years ago this year. Wow. It was filmed partly in Ireland. It's about in the 17th century an aristocratic Irish rogue, an Irish rogue who becomes part of the aristocracy in England. The rise and fall of Barry Lyndon. And it was filmed in Ireland, filmed around Carton House and Wicklow and everything.
Oh my God.
And it was filmed with NASA photography. So it looks like a painting, the picture. And I went and saw it again this year in the IFI 50-year anniversary of Barry Lyndon.
And feels like the sort of thing you could have invited me to, actually.
Ryan O'Neill and Leonard Roster's in it. A lot of the Stanley Kubrick staples are in it. And a fantastic film, and you should watch it around Christmas time.
Wow. I know all the more about it now. Is this the reason to back it at 4-1? Are you going to tip him up?
Yeah, Barry Lyndon, I can't, with my loyalty to the film, which won a few Oscars. I won an Oscar for cinematography, I think. What to have written down here. He jumps well. Course and distance winner in his chase debut in October. Puts him in the frame here. Was also a hurdle horse that popped up with victories, but also one who could disappoint.
I backed Shamrock Rovers last night to win in Bridablick, because I couldn't see the draw being a factor. The bet did not come in, obviously, but I would do it again because of what was presented in front of me. This race is about the odds, and I'm saying that the Enabler is the most likely winner, but at 4-1, I can't have Therese. She's a mare who's, as I said, not basically given away to Barry Lyndon. Brave Fortune, big ground issue for him. He's a very talented horse, but first start for Joseph O'Brien, ex Pat Doyle. His form's on good ground. The ground's going to be very testing tomorrow. So Barry Lyndon has form on the ground, course and distance form, is race fit, and is actually getting weight off everything, apart from talking the park. So in a 5-horse race, I like him at 4-1. Yeah. I think his odds are better.
Right with Found at 50 last week.
Yeah,
and then,
God, yeah. And then as the ground went really testing, I went to Energamine myself, closer to the off, because I really want to take on Majbara, who was X-rated at his fences, JD. Very disappointing.
We also have the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge Series, a race there tomorrow at Ferry House. So just explain this, folks, if you don't know what it is. So we've been talking on the show about the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge Series. 50 races covered over 28 meetings across 13 Irish tracks for the National Hunt season. Prize fund of €135,000. The series sees points allocated per qualifying race to trainers and jockeys from the 1st to 7th, with an overall table to decide the prize winners next April. Any trainer is eligible to run horses in the races, but the trainer prize fund is limited to trainers with fewer than 50 winners in the last two seasons in either code. And the winning trainer will receive €50,000, prizes down to 10th. The top three riders and stable staff will receive €10,000, €5,000 and €2,500 respectively. Any rider who rides for a qualifying trainer will have bonus points allocated. It's been supported, the series, by the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association. Spoke to Peter Fahey at the awards. He was in favour of it. The Irish Jockeys Association, the Irish Stable Staff Association, and riding high in the ratings at the moment, Philip Rothwell, well clear in the trainer standings. A bit closer now for the jockeys, Tiernan Power Roach out in front at the moment, but Daniel King not far behind him.
Yeah, rides the horse I'm going to probably tip tomorrow. But it's been very well, Romney, welcome to the series, and the race has come up with such regularity as well that it keeps it interesting.
So the 2:15 then in Ferry House, we have a William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge Series handicap hurdle, 2.5 miles, 19 runners, and the one I spotted was Ted's Corner.
The mount of Daniel King.
Ran well over 3 miles at Punchestown last time when the favourite, and maybe didn't get home, but is of interest to me here.
Yeah, I've tipped him at Ferry House on the 21st of November. I tipped him 2 days ago at Punchestown when I sort of envisaged he'd improve for the trip, but it got so testing at Punchestown. Like, he was literally beaten exactly 12 and a half lengths again, the same as at Ferry House. But he travelled well into the straight in both races and didn't really find anything. But I wouldn't be surprised this horse a non-runner now. That's fine, you get your money back 2 days later, because he would have been declared on Thursday morning. Okay. But I could see him turn up, and I definitely would give him one more chance. Definitely give him one more chance. And I know Daniel King, Tony Martin, a big fan of him.
Cowper Hall was second on his Plumtimus start at Navan over 2 miles. Gavin Cromwell trains. This extra distance might suit.
Yeah, he's I'm still not entirely positive about the stable form of Gavin's. I fancied one of his yesterday, that's 2 days ago, that was pulled up. And maybe there's still a slight question mark. Certainly the stats haven't been that great, but this horse has been holding his form well and handles the ground as well.
So what are you looking at then?
Ted's Corner.
I'd definitely
back him each way if he runs.
Okay. Just looking through the other ones here.
Gino Bella is a very interesting runner as well, as being backed.
Yeah. Hello, John Joe. Was second in 2 points earlier this year. It might be under the radar because he's only done his racing over 2 miles. We also have another one, Destival, won in October in Thurles, then Shape Well over just shorter than this distance at Clonmel earlier this month, giving her an each way chance here. But these are, like, I mean, look, these are not.
It's a divided 0-100, so it's a weak race.
These are not Gold Cup horses.
No,
so,
not yet, anyway.
So you have to just keep an eye on it. Then we're looking at Cheltenham on Saturday. Good to soft in places, but we'll see how much rain does fall between now and the off time. We're recording this on Friday. Look, I even love the name of this, Support the Hunt Family Fund, December Gold Cup at 150. I mean, John Hunt, I presume that's what it's for.
Yeah.
He's been through a horrific time.
Yeah, he gave an interview on Racing TV during the week. I think you'll find it on the social channels. He's the most inspiring character, and a race that's up for the name as well in terms of the quality of it. And Joseph Ryan is a really intriguing runner in the shape of Kimrock.
5 years of age, too young?
No, I wouldn't say that. There are two ways of looking at that. You can say he's too young. You can say 5 going on 6 as a chaser. He's plenty of upside. He made his Irish debut in Cheltenham 27 days ago. He was ridden by Richard Egan, so it's nice Richie getting these rides for Joseph, who has Bustleton gone over as well. But I watched that race back again today. He was quite solid in the market. Made a couple of mistakes, but all told, this guy can jump. Like, he travelled well in the race. There was a lot to take from it. I quite like him at the price. William Hill is 6-1 top price. I quite like him each way. He's definitely a horse that should be winning races, and I think it's important to come back to Cheltenham that he got that bit of experience.
I think there's holes in this race. So there's a lot of horses here I don't like. I mean, Jaguar obviously sets the standard in ways as the favourite, of course, in distance winner, won at the festival, won the place in March, up £9 for that. But being fresh is the unknown. He did win on his seasonal debut last year, Jaguar.
Yeah, he was very good when beating the Company Sergeant. One or both of us tipped that horse in the day. I remember there was the Company Sergeant.
Wasn't me, had an awful run.
But I mean, in these colours, like, is that the plan again to Cheltenham Festival? You just don't know. Like, yeah, this horse, and he's absolutely entitled to on his first start back to need the run.
I actually fancy the outsider of the whole thing.
Not Glengooley, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, ex-Willie Mullins.
Rated 146 for Willie, now 128, has had wind surgery and some signs of life over 2 miles recently. Was second in the highest chase. I was there when it was second to, I think, a Henry de Bromhead winner a couple of years ago. I just think if there's any sparkle in that horse, at 33-1 carrying bottom weight in this, I didn't think he'd be discounted.
Last time this horse won a race, it was at the expense of Tell Me Something Girl. There we go, a horse that Rachel Blackmore knew very well and was second to Ain't That a Shame. Good show.
Ain't That a Shame. Yeah,
and that was only last year.
Martator is now back in a winning mark. Grand Versatile, I don't know if that's the way to pronounce the horse. The trip is fine. Knows how to win after reading off 5 victories in a row in 2024. Each way claims. I mean, you always got to look at Venetia in these races, I feel. Charlie Deutsch, they won it with Jemmy Rond, I think, last year. I think I put up that, or maybe the year before.
Il Redotto as well, if you could give him some sort of, he's just had so many chances at this stage. Well held behind Panic Attack 28 days ago. Kind of slightly slipping down the weight, but you usually wouldn't be this sort of price.
Solid each way options, probably Colonel Harry, a decent novice. After a few issues, won the Grand Sefton at Aintree on his reappearance. The rain won't hinder him.
Yeah, and
but you like Kim Rock?
Yeah, it's a hard race to price up relative to, I suppose, what he would need to achieve here. And this is a better race than the novice chase he ran in the last day. But he did so much right in the race, and he's a horse that you'll enjoy if you back him. You'll enjoy watching him go the way he jumps.
Now, I'm not named this horse is not named after me, but it's the favourite for the Albert Bartlett hurdle at the Grade 2 at Cheltenham on Saturday, 3 o'clock. Conman John.
Yeah, it's actually like, how do you call a horse Conman John? I mean, who is it named after? And does he want you to tell people you named him Conman John?
They should have called it Scatman John.
Scatman John, yeah. That brings me back to, God, I was in
1995.
National school, I think. Even earlier than that. 1995. Conman John, yeah. Fair for the Albert Bartlett. By the way, we have... If he's favoured for the Albert Bartlett, I think the three novice hurdle races have British trained favourites at the moment, which is astounding.
Is that Paul Nicholls' horse you're talking
about? Paul Nicholls, two walk in the parks, whose name escapes me. God, the Turner's horse looks exciting, but he hasn't come off the bridle yet. But Conman John, yeah, I'd imagine there probably will be something better than this down the line in the Turner's. But it's just a reflection of the fact that...
Well, we haven't seen Willie's yet.
And they don't know where they don't know where the filly's
going
to go.
No Drama This End, I think, is the Nicholls horse.
No Drama This End. It was well named, actually. But the filly who won the Cheltenham Bumper last year, Bambino Fever... Yeah. She's that stupid mare's novice hurdle as an option. So, like, maybe she won't run any of these races. And I say that I'm not against mare's race. I'm just against them at Cheltenham. But this will be interesting because Ollie Murphy's an intriguing runner. They call me Hugo. It's probably like, if you're Hugo, you're not too unhappy with that. So, you know, they call me Hugo. They're not calling me Conman John. But won easily at Foss Lass, an ex-point pointer. Just hard to weigh up where he fits in against these. But he has gets £3 off Conman John, who will go out in front and hope to stay there.
A reckless spending, a bit of money for Nicky Henderson's horse into 92, and money for Carlin Rig for the Skeltons into 13-2 in the Highclere Thoroughbred. That's obviously big owners.
Yeah, and reckless spending's an intriguing runner. He really does appeal like he'd step up in, he'd appreciate step up in trip. He only ran a 4-horse race the last day. That was a maiden hurdle, but he was second in a point-to-point back in October of last year. And there were three finishers that day, but I would say that was a good 4-year-old maiden.
I think Conman John will probably drift a bit more, and that could make him backable. I mean, if Lucinda Russell's talking about him, could be the next horse in your... I mean, obviously...
It's a funny one, JD, though. If either of us was the horse who, or the person who owned Conman John, which would be, you know, we'd get a lot of chat about at the races. I don't know if I'd run him there, but Bartlett. I'd probably be like, well... If this horse is a chaser, like, why don't we just not bottom out over hurdle. The Albert Bartlett is a tough race.
The toughest, I feel.
Yeah. And
that and the bumper.
I actually think it's a race, the Albert Bartlett. They could easily just get rid of that.
I love it. I love it.
You love the Albert. I've actually good record in it, but I don't think it in terms of for the horses long term. I've backed like Very Wood, Vanillier. I've three or four long price winners, the Albert Bartlett, but it's not a race. It's a race I don't think would be missed. And I think as connections of the horse, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you want a horse that'll not be bottomed out.
Just looking through it here, like Bob's Worth won it, went on to win a Gold Cup. Penn Hill would win a Stairs Hurdle out of winning it. Minella Indo won a Gold Cup.
Yeah, Minella Indo, he was, and they were big prices winner. Actually. Yeah. I tipped Penn Hill actually. He was like 16s on the day because Debt Duty, I think, was all the rage. Yeah.
Jasmine DeVoe won it last season.
Yeah, Jasmine DeVoe was kind of a revelation. God, he's jumping together. But I think it's a. I mean, I'd like Cheltenham to go back to 3 days. I'd get rid of the three mares races and the one or two other races. But the Albert Bartlett is one I think that they could. Because, do you know, it's lovely now when you've the likes of Kopeck de Boer's Lulamba and Romeo Coolio. You know they're going to the Arkle. Like, it's all but certain. Yeah. Unless Romeo Coolio really wants to step up and trip. So it's great not having those intermediate races.
And you give Mares the allowance in the bigger races.
Yeah, exactly. We've done one where around today. Yeah, she wouldn't. Yeah. This is it. She wouldn't even run in those races.
Possibly not. Navin.
Maybe she would have.
Navin on Sunday, soft to heavy. I was just interested in the bumper because now we're still. Let's get the declarations in for this before. I was nine a few days ago, so we'll just get the declarations here and here. Because I was interested because I thought Jigginstown has stood her out of the game. but it just seems like there's a lot of horses in the maroon here.
Yeah, I was watching the Tony Ryan Legacy RT.
There's two of them are Keep Him Company and Pandrandrum are in there.
The Tony Ryan Legacy documentary was on RT about 10 years ago, and I ended up like just watching it randomly on YouTube about the night, and Michael O'Leary featured, and there was a photo of him and Eddie at the race, and I remember, God, Michael had left the game, or was leaving the game, but obviously he wanted to come back, and he has horse with Willie Mullins again. This race is incredible for one reason, JD. The record of favourites in it and the record of Gordon Elliott in it. 2015, Debt Duty, 5-4, won. 2016, Sam Crowe, 1-3, won. 2017, Rapid Escape, 2-5, Gordon Elliott, won. Envoy LM, 2018, 4-11, won. Sir Gerhard, American Mike, the enabler, Calypso's Chance. One trainer, Joseph O'Brien, in the last 10 renewals has won it, apart from Gordon Elliott. Every single favourite in the last 10 renewals has won. A lot of them were odds on. A lot of different jockeys: Patrick Mullins, Harry Swan, Jamie Codd, Tom Hamilton, Lisa O'Neill, Nina Carberry. So that makes me think that, well, just back Gordon, but which one?
Keeping Company cost $220,000. Is that
Very much so. Josh Halford rides him, and Josh Halford's brother actually rode Oh My Word when he won for Tom Cleary last time. And Pandrandrum, it's kind of hard to know here because Josh Williamson rode Keeping Company the last time, but I would have possibly thought Keeping Company was higher regarded, cost a lot of money by a French stare, but maybe the betting suggests the jockey booking suggests Pandrandrum is the one.
On My Word, 33-1 winner on debut over course and distance in a bumper last month. And it's now Derek O'Connor on this one.
Yeah, it's great to see Tom Cleary having one of the gents of the game having a good horse like that. And I'd say Rory, his son, is helping him out lots as well as he gets older. And they've had some nice horses this year. But this horse to win at 33s, 10, and you know, to win an Irish bumper is desperately hard. And that occasion, Jigginstown had a horse, Lemmy Caution, who was a bit disappointing. I'd imagine this is an awful lot harder race. But the fact that Derek O'Connor is booked is very, very encouraging. And it'll be interesting to see who gets on.
We've got Dave Kellner on the line from William Hill. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you two?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Dave. Is the December Gold Cup where we should be starting?
Yeah, probably. It's the big betting race of the weekend, without any question. It's a race in which we're a quarter of the odds as well. We're going a quarter of the odds on all the ITV races this weekend. And I think it's a pretty fascinating renewal, really, the December Gold Cup this time around. And I suppose it revolves around Jaguar, who was so progressive last season, is at the top of the betting at 7-2 with William Hill. Vincenzo is in the market at 9-2. Hojoli Smoke is 5-1. Kim Rock is 6-1. Colonel Harry is in the betting at 8-1. Imperial Saint is 10-1, 12-1 and bigger the rest. We will have an epic boost live on this race from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning as well. So make sure you get online at williamhill.com or the app to check out that epic boost, which will be live from nine. And yeah, I think that Jaguar looks the one to beat. There's a couple that caught my eye. I don't know what you two think, but I thought Colonel Harry was very interesting at 8-1 on the back of his win in the William Hill Grand Sefton last time out. I think this is a horse that bounced back to form, dropped in class last time, still well treated on some of his form from 2024. I think he'll run a nice race again. And the other one was Kim Rock, who was a definite eye catcher. Not much weight on his back, and yeah, he just got tired in the closing stages at Cheltenham last time, but I think he'll really come on for that run. So I thought that Kim Rock at 6-1 and Colonel Harry at 8-1 were two interesting ones against Jaguar, who is the horse to beat at the head of the betting.
Yeah, Colonel Harry I think is a rock solid each way option. Dave, Johnny's pick is Kim Rock, and my pick is Glenn Gooley at 33-1. I don't know if there's a scent for that, because I haven't gone onto my William Hill app yet, so maybe nothing. Nobody's yep. backed it.
They're drifting 25-1 out to 33-1 Glenn Gooley. I'm sure once viewers watch this preview, though, they'll be all over that one.
Well, there will be if given what Johnny did last week with a 20-1 winner, Dave.
Nice.
So yeah, for the charity, the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle, Coleman John. We were speaking about the unfortunate John who had that horse named after him. Obviously it's not me, but he's a bit of a drifter because there's money for other horses in the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham on Saturday.
He's slightly weak in the betting. 11-10 this horse opened up. He's now 11-8, Conman John. They Call Me Hugo is 7-2. Reckless Spending in the betting at 9-2. It's then 13-2 for Carl Lenrig. It's 12-1 bar that quartet. It's an interesting race because I thought Conman John, I didn't expect Conman John to be this weak in the betting, in all honesty. I thought it was all about this horse. Got a big future, I'm sure. I fancy him to win. He enjoyed the step up in trip to this distance last time out. And I think he'll win the race, Conman John. But as you mentioned, there are a couple that have been definitely supported against Conman John. He was laid earlier on in the week at 6-4, but since the final declarations, Reckless Spending has been the one for money. Having opened up 6-1, is into 9-2 now. So Reckless Spending against Conman John. But yeah, in my opinion, I think Conman John will win the race.
Conman John will win the race, according to Dave.
Yeah, like and Dave's on about like a slight drift that wouldn't worry me at this stage as well. Like, and you can get with horses that are drifting in very, very early markets like this, you can definitely get value. Like, say if that horse is 6-4 soon, you know, because there's a bit of support for everything else or for something else in the race, and he's a very, very likable stayer.
It's not a like it's not one of the Leopardstown or Punchestown festival cards at Ferry House on Saturday, Dave. So, look, you've got markets up for the Racing TV Now Rated Novice Chase, and also the race we profiled in depth, the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge Series Handicap Hurdle. Is there any money going anywhere from these races, early money?
Not much early money. There's a couple that I quite like, though. One in particular in that 12:02 at Ferry House. I just thought Barry Lyndon was really interesting.
Yes, we all like Barry Lyndon.
At 4-1, because that form when he beat Milforce last time out, that's obviously been given a boost. I thought the Enabler was quite short and skinny in the market at 5-4. Barry Lyndon's in there at 4-1. Brave Fortune's probably got to step up on the form that he's shown. I don't reckon much to his form, and Barry Lyndon was the one there that just leapt off the page for me at that price at 4-1. Winner over course and distance when last seen a couple of months ago, beat Milforce. That horse has gone on to win at Galway subsequently, and I thought Barry Lyndon was definitely overpriced in that race anyway at 4-1.
Were you listening earlier to the chat about where Barry Lyndon got his name, Dave?
Oh no, I didn't hear that.
Do you know yourself?
I've no idea.
Okay.
We won't tell it for another time. The triple penalty. The three of us like the horse. There we go.
It was a film from 1975, Stanley Kubrick. That's my nerd coming out of me there, Dave. So you can check it out.
Nice.
After the pod. What about the each way handicap hurdle? Is there anything that you're noting there, or anything being backed?
Yeah, there's not anything that's been backed in the early markets. This market only went up about a couple of hours before we started recording here. This is an extra place race. It is the each way extra challenge series handicap hurdle, as you mentioned as well. So we're going five instead of four. And of course, with each way extra, you can pick your places as well. Cowper Hall is the 11-4 favourite. That's Me Finished is 9-2. Ted's Corner, 11-2. Destivelle is in the betting at 13-2. Gino Bella is 13-2 as well, 11-1. And bigger the remainder. We will have racing bet builder options on all these races. It goes live online at williamhill.com and on the app from 8 a.m. for the UK races, 10 a.m. for the Irish races every single day. Destivelle was the one that I thought was interesting. He scored by six lengths off 73, three starts back. That was at Thurles. And I thought there was a little bit, he was left a little bit too much to do last time out. And he goes on any type of ground. He's back in form. Destivelle, but it's only a tentative selection with that one.
Anything else you want to highlight across the weekend, Dave?
Nothing really. I think we've covered the big stuff, really. I mean, it's fantastic that the December Gold Cup is the support the Hunt family fund. Yes. December Gold Cup as well. I mean, that's unbelievable. I've not managed to listen to John Hunt on the Nick Luck podcast as well. And I know he did an in-depth interview on there, and that's something that I'll definitely be checking out. But it's wonderful that that name's been given that race title this weekend. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to the action at Cheltenham. It's always good fun at Cheltenham. And yeah, that's definitely the feature.
It's looking at the King George odds here, anti-post, Johnny. So Gaelic Warrior 7-4, Django Bay 9-4, the Jukebox Man 5s, Jello 10s, Factophile with a run, what, 6-1, Banbridge won last year 16s, Ile Francais 16s, Faster Slow 14-1, Colokiko 33s, Heartwood 50-1.
Yeah, I'd imagine Gaelic Warrior is probably the most talented.
2 weeks away.
Or sorry, it's 2 weeks away. I just would not want to be second guessing what William Mullins runs in this. It's a really, really a unique 3 mile test, like so much turning, jumping at pace. He's a horse that can throw in shockers, but I definitely feel he's better going right handed. I really like the Jukebox Man as a horse this year.
Yeah.
If he runs in the race, won on the card last year as a novice.
Very impressively.
He's 5-1 could be a brilliant each way bet. If you're having a bet, back him now each way 5-1. And I love that feeling of waking up on the 26th and having race to look forward to. And if you have like a 2-1 shot who you've backed each way at fives, maybe the Jukebox Man could be the one.
Owned by Harry Redknapp, of course.
Yes, indeed. Was interviewed at the races. I'm not sure if he gave an update. He was interviewed at the race, I think, last night. Actually, I've said this before. I think racing badly needs to attract more owners like Harry and Alex Ferguson, who were interviewed at the races, was it last year? Need to get more of that into racing.
When Harry won with Check Him Up, Harry at Cheltenham, he was so generous with his time as well.
Yeah.
Gentleman.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp. I don't want to hear anything else said against him. I don't know if you're a West Ham fan or a Spurs fan there, Dave Kellner, but the Jukebox Man, I remember watching him last year. I thought he was breathtaking with his
I think
jumps,
Dave would be more like he'd be more one of the northern teams, maybe.
What's your team, Dave?
I'm a Manchester United fan, actually.
Jesus.
Born in Leeds as well. I've had no shame at all. My dad's actually a West Ham fan because he was did a lot of work down in London when he was younger, and he follows the Hammers. So, yeah, he's a big Harry Redknapp fan. This horse, the Jukebox Man, do you think if he does run well in the King George, do you think the Gold Cup could be on the agenda for him? He's 20-1.
I think surely if they did win the King George, got close to the I mean, that's what Mick Fitzgerald always used to say, that the King George is a great test for the Gold Cup.
Kempton's like considered a flat track, but it's a real grueling test. You're turning, like you don't stop going, race.
Yeah,
and you can get so badly caught out of your ground that you've no chance. There's probably a bit of a pace collapse in the race last year, but absolutely. And like this horse is only what, 7? Like you said, hardly any runs. I think the Gold Cup, apart from a very hard to beat favourite, who you can't obviously rely on every year to turn up at Cheltenham, is very, very open if you take him out of it.
I think Galopon is going to be fascinating this year. What's Galopon going to do?
It's going to be really difficult to come back. Like really, really difficult. They don't do it for a reason. He's getting older, and if the ground comes up as it did last year, like he was so friendless in the betting last year, for whatever reason, I was surprised how well he came back at Punchdown. But definitely vulnerable this year at Cheltenham.
Do you an anti-post man at all, Dave? Are you?
Yeah, I quite like an anti-post double. I'd be looking at it in the Gold Cup. I think it is quite open. Obviously, I think the favourite is definitely the one to beat because you know Gavin Cromwell's going to get this horse cherry ripe, and he's going to come good in the spring. And he loves the track and likes the hill, likes the distance. and obviously is the defending champion. So I think that 7-2 is fair. And I know you wait, on I know the way you're thinking. I agree with Johnny on Galopin Deschamps. I'd be amazed as a 10-year-old if he came back. The two that interest me are the jukebox man. If he does impress at Kempton in the King George, I think that he's one of those horses that could make this next step up. And I thought Grey Dawning was so impressive in the Betfair chase that it wouldn't surprise me at all if Grey Dawning went well at 14-1. I think there's definitely more to come from him.
Yeah, Cheltenham Gold Cup next year on the Friday, just before we play Scotland. I'm just going to go through the odds here. Factor File, don't think he'll probably go there. I'm not sure if he stays. But looking through the William Hill odds here, Fast or Slow, 25-1. I mean, I'd love to see Mashburn over the trip. And he's too young now, but
he needs to jump straight.
Yeah, but maybe over 3.25 miles.
You're not the only one to say that, JD.
Yeah, Jerry Kalam, 40s. Haven't seen him for a while. Haiti Kalura, 50-1. That's an interesting horse now, because you know that horse jumps
and stays. Yeah.
And sometimes you have these. I mean, Native River won a Welsh National and won a Gold Cup. So, you know, Haiti Kalura, 50-1 if Rebecca Curtis did decide to go that road. Johnny Ward, last week, he had a 20-1 winner for your charity bet. So, folks, you need to pay attention very carefully now to what Johnny's going to pick, either 50 on the nose or 25 each way. What have you decided, Johnny?
Past performance is not a guide to, thankfully, given the tipping for the last while. But I actually, whatever about that horse, you know, coming in at a nice price. The Fierce Handay in the 105 tomorrow, number two. Fierce Handay, I fancy this out of the way. Don't know what price it'll be. Hopefully,
where
it'll be
is this?
Price. 105 Ferry House, Fierce Handay. Was behind a horse who reopposes tomorrow by the name of Kentucky Beach at Goran 35 days ago. And it was funny because Kentucky Beach, if you get a chance to watch it back, Dave, it's kind of weird, like the camera work at times of race, but the camera was basically looking kind of in the old fashioned view at the start. But there was a big, like, I don't know, it was like a ditch or there was something in the way. But it looked to me like Kentucky Beach got a bit of a soft lead, but all of a sudden he was well clear of them. And the other jockeys weren't doing anything. He ended up being second, beat the neck. I actually tipped the winner of the race who was well fancied both that day and the day before. But Fierce Handy was really, really quietly ridden. And I like a McManus horse on his or her second handicap start. It'd be this would be my Christmas good thing.
Okay, listen to the man, Johnny Ward there on the Racing Pod has picked a 20-1 winner last week, and he's gone for as a charity bet this week on the nose or each way, Johnny.
Depends on the odds. I'll go actually on the nose, even though. Don't be afraid to back the source each way with each way places, the extra places.
105 Ferry House on Saturday, Fierce Handay number two, Mark Walsh riding for Noel Mead, Johnny Ward's charity bet this week on the Racing Pod with thanks to William Hill. Dave Callender, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, chaps. Enjoy the weekend.
And Johnny Ward, thank you so much.
Just noticed that Christmas.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.